Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, you can do so as long as it's positive and encouraging. We don't want any negative and discouraging emails. comments at AFR.net, comments at AFR.net is the email address. American Family Radio, we stream live on our app. If you want to listen to American Family Radio anywhere you go, 24/7, as long as you got high-speed internet service, like most cell phones or iPads or things of that nature, you can listen anywhere in the world with the app. The AFR app. Tim, Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm well.
What you got for us? First story.
All right. Are you traveling this weekend, anybody?
Not far.
Well, good, because you can go a lot of places, but one place you do not want to go, apparently, is Teterboro Airport in New Jersey.
Newark Airport.
I'm sorry. International Airport in Teterboro. Where did I get that? It is in New Jersey, though. Right? All right. Newark International Airport, they had a power outage, a communications outage, I should say, again. And well, I got to tell you, it is not going well for the aviation industry, especially like air traffic controllers and such. Sean Duffy, who is the transportation secretary, had something to say about this. Cut five.
They spent $1.2 trillion, the biggest infrastructure build ever known to man. And barely any money went to reform air traffic control. They actually spent less than $1 billion to do this job. And by the way, it's going to cost tens of billion dollars to fix it.
Yeah, things have been a mess. This is outage number three. Now, the radar outages don't last all that long. But when you hear pilots, and I think we played this last week, say, hearing something from ATC, air traffic control, to the pilot, "I don't see you on the radar. I don't see you." That in a corridor. Now we're talking Newark, so they're right next door to JFK and LaGuardia, New York. Philadelphia is there. What happened over the weekend? I think it was last night, actually. When aircraft are flying into Newark, there in New Jersey, they check in at a place at the Philadelphia airport, which helps direct the traffic to Newark. That went out for a little bit. So it resulted in dozens and dozens of cancellations. They had to hold aircraft on the ground until they got that fixed. Now, what Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy basically is saying, the Biden administration knew this problem was huge, but instead they decided to spend billions of dollars creating recharging posts for electric cars. That was their big deal.
How many did they put up? It was like two, or three. Or something.
Yeah. They designated billions of dollars for that. So what Sean Duffy is saying is that we're going to spend billions of dollars finally upgrading the air traffic control system in this country. If you want to get an idea of how busy it is, guys, go to FlightAware. You can put that app. I have it on my phone because I like looking at it. Look sometime at how busy the traffic is. Just an example on the aircraft on the Eastern Corridor from Boston down to Florida. If you want to have a look at just how busy things are, my goodness, it'll scare you how many airplanes are in the air at any one time.
The FlightAware, is that just commercial aircraft, or is that also?
It'll pick up private too.
Yeah.
I know what you're
talking about.
Anybody that's under instrument control has to file a flight plan. Therefore, you can see that particular aircraft on the screen, and it is amazing to me that there haven't been more accidents in this country, airplane accidents, because of the amount of traffic on those corridors.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the Eastern Seaboard, you're right.
Ooh. Things have been going south for a while. This is on the heels of all of the other close calls and accidents that they've already had, the helicopter and plane outside of D.C. Yeah. Duffy has some work to do, and he's got to get it done pretty quickly.
Yes, because his predecessor did not do anything.
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg, yeah, yes.
The DEI hire.
Yes.
All right. Hey, over the weekend, some New Jersey lawmakers decided that they wanted to take justice into their own hands and go rescue some criminals out of a detention center in New Jersey. ICE has a detention center. The Justice Department put out a press release, and it showed who they were bringing in. They were bringing in some felons, some illegal immigrants that had broken further laws, and representatives LaMonica McCliver, Bonnie Watson, Coleman, and Rob Menendez, along with Newark Mayor Ross Baraka, decided they were going to break into this facility. The mayor of New Jersey of Newark was arrested, held for briefly, and there's now talk about charges of assault for the three Democrat congresspersons because they forced their way in. There's a picture of them shoving the law enforcement out of the way to get in. They continue to pick on to have the wrong heroes. I don't, yeah.
Yeah, this was known attempt. There were TV cameras there. The local media was all there when these three members of Congress show up and basically try to barge in to do what they called some kind of security check themselves on this facility, on this DEI, this detention facility, and so there's video of this happening. There is protocol. Members of Congress can arrange to go into these detention centers to have a look around. There's a way to do this, but they weren't interested in following protocol. They wanted the cameras there to make their point that Homeland Security is acting unconstitutionally. Look what they did to us. And, of course, the claim from the three members, Democrat members of Congress there, is that they were shoved around. But there's video there that makes it very clear. They were doing the shoving.
Assistant DHS Secretary Trisha McLaughlin had something to say about this. Cut four.
These members of Congress and protesters, a mob of protesters, stormed this gate to try and enter the detention facility. The detention facility holds members of MS-13, child rapists, murderers, arsonists, drug traffickers, American killers, and for them to try and get these individuals out is just beyond the pale. We know that the mayor, we know these members of Congress want their 15 minutes of fame so desperately, but they're willing to do it at the peril of the safety of our brave law enforcement and even the detainees as well. These members of Congress, this mayor, and these protesters are not above the law. If they had wanted a tour, we will easily facilitate that for them. We actually laid out the guidelines on our DHS Twitter that show you need at least 24 hours of notice to these ICE detention facilities to make sure that staff, that detainees, and that our law enforcement are safe and there's proper protocols and proper channels followed.
So there you have it, Jim. I mean, this was just a camera grab. That's all it was.
Yeah.
It was a publicity stunt by these Democrats, and they're doing this. They don't like it's the same with this congressman that went down to El Salvador. Yep. To meet with this guy who now he has a track record breaking the laws in
Maryland.
Yes. And so they're just trying to do this. They're trying to cover for the fact that when Joe Biden was president of the United States, he invited an invasion of this country. That's what he did. And Donald Trump now is just trying to clean things up.
Yeah, I don't. This is where the great divide comes in understanding these quote progressive. They're beyond liberal. They're wackadoodles. Uh-huh. Is what I consider them. But it's kind of hard to. And we have a clip from Bill Maher, a liberal, saying as much in just a moment. But I don't. Help me try to understand this. These Democrat congressmen. These are U.S. Are these U.S. congressmen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Three of them.
Three of them.
Okay. And then this has happened on other occasions too. They're fighting for, they're spending time and energy fighting against the deportation of criminals who are here in our, who have come to America, and ICE has determined that they are, and maybe some other, maybe a law enforcement. These are people. These are bad people who are doing harm in our country, and we're wanting to, we, the United States federal government now, under the Trump administration, wanting to deport them,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So these Democrat congressmen decide, no, we want them to stay here.
Yeah.
So we're going to spend our time fighting for their right, these people who are here illegally and done criminal activity, or according to our government. Are they saying that, no, they've been unfairly charged, and they why the political capital to what's the principle at stake here, Steve?
They actually said that they were afraid that this detention center wasn't following the right procedures. It was like in the wrong zoning area or something. It was something stupid. It wasn't
like
anything to do with.
It's like these people always care more about the perpetrator than the victim.
Yeah,
you know this kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Where you care more about the, and you're going like, does anybody not care for the victim?
Yeah.
Well, so I don't understand the logic behind it, but I guess it's a lefty secular progressive point of view. I think they disagree fundamentally with having immigration laws.
I agree.
Right?
That's right.
There's such a thing in politics that they're talking about these days called 80-20 issues, where 80% of Americans are on one side of the issue, and then there's the fringe 20, probably the left, the ultra-left
right.
or whatever, that are against it. Democrats are consistently landing on the 20% and defending the 20% to the amazement and dismay and, frankly, abandonment of the 80%.
Do you have the Bill Maher quote?
I do. I was just going to go there. Bill Maher was talking about this on his show. He says, if they don't change, the Dems are doomed. Cut 10.
But here is the dilemma for Democrats. Their young people, their key constituency, not only don't like their own civilization, they like the wrong one. They actually think Hamas is a liberation movement. They chant for the Houthis. They're chanting, we will honor our martyrs at Yale. They're looking for love in all the wrong countries. Someone needs to tell the kids that America is not the society where women basically have no rights, where there's zero freedom of religion, and where dissent is punishable by death. If the thought leaders in the Democratic Party keep encouraging and not rebuking the idea that America is cringe and the people who run Gaza are great, the Democrats are doomed. Alyssa Slotkin's right. Liberals are weak and woke, especially the white ones, and they indulge all sorts of nonsense from their kids, a pattern that then continues on in the Democratic Party. Last election, it was all the gender stuff, the insistence that men can have babies and such, and now I fear that we like the terrorists is the new that. Liberals need to push back on the dumb ideas that come from their children.
Okay, that was Bill Maher.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've given Bill Maher more time than I ever thought would be possible, because I could not stand the guy 5 years ago. He was an anti-Christian bigot in many ways. But he has changed his tune. The last 4 or 5 years, in the sense that he's always been liberal, but he is what you call a traditional type liberal, which you can somewhat reason with these people.
Yeah.
He's talking about the crazy left, which is far to the left of him.
Yes.
Which has taken over much of the Democrat Party, and what he's warning against there, I think, is accurate. If they keep, they, the Democrat Party, keep embracing these far-left ideas, they're going to lose a lot of elections.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to necessarily lose in deep blue states and areas, but they're going to lose in purple places and red states, obviously.
This last election, every single county moved to the right. Even the deep blue ones. Trump didn't win them,
right?
But he didn't lose them by as
like
much.
California was
yeah.
had the highest Republican
yeah.
vote ever, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
So
even though they didn't win,
they're not
a majority, but still, it represented a change in America generally to be more red.
Yeah.
I think Maher is saying, what people like James Carville is saying there in Louisiana, if the Democratic Party goes into the midterms next year fighting for men who want to play in girls'
right.
sports.
It's a loser.
It's a loser.
Yeah.
If by the time we get to November next year and we still have these illegal immigrants committing these kinds of crimes in this country, and you have Democrats defending them
right.
and wanting them to stay right. in this country
right.
for 2 or 3 years until they have their asylum hearing,
right.
that's going to be a loser.
Yeah.
I would also add that yeah. for all his moderation by comparison, I don't believe that Bill Maher has moderated much at all on the Christian issue that I've heard of. Have you? I think he's still as anti-Christian as he ever was, just so we're clear. But he certainly is reasonable by comparison now with the where the Democrats.
I haven't heard him comment on Christianity. He doesn't.
I think he had a conversation with Jordan Peterson. Now Jordan Peterson himself is flirting with Christianity, but at least comes from a faith positive yeah. standpoint, and they had some disagreements. But
next story.
All right, researchers at Massachusetts General Brigham. Mass General Brigham, I should say, have come out with a new artificial intelligence tool. Using a photo of someone's face, just a selfie, the AI tool will generate predictions on the subject's biological age. Not his calendar age, but biological. So if you've been smoking for 10 years and your body says you're 50 when indeed actually you're only 35, the AI will say, no, you're 50. And they base some actuarial stuff on this. How long are you going to last? In fact, to test the accuracy, they put some couple 6,000 cancer patients in front of this AI machine, and it made more accurate predictions on their lifespan prediction than did the clinicians. AI was better at diagnosing not what kind of cancer, but how long they would live. So all well and good until AI insurance companies start to say, well, we're going to use AI now, and your fate is, you've only got a couple years left, so we're cutting you off at the knees, so to speak. That's my fear.
Well, I think it's well founded. We know insurance companies, they're out to make money, and I could see an insurance company saying, "Yeah, we'll continue to insure you, but we're going to triple your premiums."
Because, you mean based on this AI test?
Yeah.
If it were to be used, is what
if it were to be used, yes. So they'll either outprice it to the point where you can't afford that insurance, or they'll just send you a letter saying, because of this, we're not going to insure you anymore, period.
I'll read this. Among people with cancer, the tool generated a higher biological age. It was about 5 years higher than their chronological age. The researchers also tested the tool's ability to predict the life expectancy of 100 people receiving palliative care based on their photos, compared it to 10 clinicians' predictions. Face Age, which is the name of this program, was found to be more accurate than the clinicians' predictions.
Based on their photos?
Based on a photo.
You have a photograph and AI says how long you're going to live?
If you have certain cancers or certain, yeah.
Oh, if you already have cancers?
That's what they tested it.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Yep.
The reason.
Well, that's encouraging.
You do yeah. wear stress on your face. I think that's what they're seeing. People wear stress on their face. I mean, but. And you see someone that looks like much older or younger than their actual age. So
well, that cancer does that to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, then. I don't like where this is going.
All right. Well, let's talk about something better.
Now, they've talked about AI being used to help cure cancer, too.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Too. Now, AI is a technology.
How you do that, but go ahead.
Well, AI is a technology that is amoral. It has no moral value. It's those who use it. What do they use it for? And they are using it to detect different cancers, given scans and such. They're using it now. Doctors are using it to help with assist in remote surgeries and that kind of stuff. Some remarkable things going on with artificial intelligence. There's also some very scary things. And what I was a story that I was doing that. Probably, I think, is on our website right now at afn.net. The people who know the most are the most scared. Elon Musk. Why? And well, because they see the potential and where things are going, and that how very few people are putting fences around this. It's, you know, you got the technology, what it can do. Human nature is to go push it to its boundaries and beyond. And
it's not human.
But the humans are the ones that are saying putting rules or not putting rules around its use. So,
wow.
Hey, all have right, you ever been sitting in your living room and talking with your wife or your husband, and you're talking, I don't know, let's say you're talking about taking a vacation. Want to go to the Bahamas. Hey, why? We haven't had a cruise in a long time. We should do a cruise. You're just, you and your wife talking. That's all you do. All of a sudden, guess what starts showing up on your ads on the internet, on YouTube, and on Facebook? Well, it's cruise, ads for cruise to the Bahamas. How in the world did that happen? Well, it turns out that Siri may have been spying. In fact, she was spying on you for at least 10 years, and Apple has decided to pay up. They were sued and lost a class action suit. They put up $95 million for what they're calling a Siri snooping payout. And if you believe you were affected between September 17th, 2014, and December 31st, 2024, about a 10-year period there, you can submit a claim. I don't know how you'd prove it. The claims people would something on the if you, when you file a claim, you'll be asked some questions, I'm sure. But the money's there for the taking if you think you've been being spied on.
I just assume you are. Go ahead.
It doesn't surprise me.
No. Well, all of us, if you type in something on Google or something like that, and like, for instance, some kind of vacation spot or something like that, you're, you know, it's just going to be a matter of minutes before you get an ad popped up for, hey, VRBO in Destin, Florida is, and you're going, how did they know that's where I go about? Huh?
Yes.
Well, you've typed it in on the search engine, and so you're going to get a response. That's how, we all know that's how that works.
But, yes.
And it works that way for all kind of products. You could be looking for a bicycle for your kids for Christmas, and the next thing you know, you got an ad for a bicycle popping up in the middle of a story you're reading. So that's how that happens.
But this story is
beyond that.
Takes it beyond that.
Yeah.
It's listening to your conversations.
Right. Unbeknownst to you. Obviously.
Unbeknownst to you.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. Some people turn their phones off.
What did that happen with Siri? What did that happen with?
Siri.
So
Siri is Apple's.
It's one you're talking to and say, Siri, you do that, don't you, Steve?
Yeah. My phone is actually responding to me saying it's Siri.
a lot of people use that to do research in an easy way, quick way, right?
So you're saying Siri is listening right now.
It is. Every time we say Siri, my phone lights up and I can't do anything
else. Ask Siri, is she listening to you?
Siri. Hey, Siri, are you listening to me? I respect your privacy and only listen when you're talking to me. You can learn about me.
Well, she just said she confessed right there that she's listening.
Well, I said, hey,
while
Siri.
While saying it's not listening.
I said, hey, Siri. So
hey,
apparently.
Siri. Yeah, that's true.
She's being
duly noted.
Told to say she's not.
Big Brother's watching you, right?
I tell you.
All right. Thank you for listening to our program today. And thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Steve.
My pleasure.
A thanks to Chris Woodward. A thanks to Brent Creeley. My thanks to President Trump and his team for providing a lot of news stories for us today.
And Bill Maher.
Can always depend on it.
Yeah. All right. It's never a dull news day with Donald Trump around, right?
That's for sure.
All right. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.